What's the room again?
1240, down at the end.
Ooh, what's that?
Sammy, don't touch that. That's someone's old food.
Here we are. Do you have the key?
You have both of ours.
Oh, right. Not working.
Rub it.
Come on.
Try flipping it over.
Seriously.
Why can't we go inside?
I'm tired.
Give me yours.
You have mine.
All right.
What? Please, if you
Dad,
could just...
Dad, why aren't you opening the door?
Can everyone just shut the...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Kuznetsov off bodies. They score! Stephen Nason out in front.
Oh, DeBrus shooting. Scores!
He played it back. Out in front. They score. And it's Matt Rumpy.
Reds in it. Now it's a foot for Lowry to the net. Wait, he scores.
After reviewing the play at 16:29, the puck completely crossed the goal line.
There's another chance. They score. The cover, Joshua.
Welcome into Sabres Live. 6 games in the book so far. The home team has won every single game of these Stanley Cup playoffs so far, and there are 4 more tonight. With Marty, I'm Brian. Big Amherst weekend as well. They got 3 out of 4 points, which left them 1 point shy of winning the North Division. It was that close, but a phenomenal run to close out the regular season. The playoffs start for the Amherst on Friday. Can't wait to dive in to that. Marty, the takeaway, and maybe let's just blast through based on, the intensity that we expected in the Battle of Florida, as you and Shayna have dubbed it. I'll call it the Sunshine Series.
I like sunshine. I like sunshine.
I like sunshine. We had sunshine today. It's a good start to the week. And let's dive in. Florida, Tampa. What's your takeaway after one?
Oh, my takeaway was... It was intense from the start. It was a good game. Like I feel like that series is going 7 and it didn't disappoint me in game 1. Despite the fact it was an empty net goal, made it 3-1 and then Stamkos scored late. Like Tampa
had a
chance. So what
does that tell you about empty netters?
Empty netters actually gets you game-winning goals.
Thank you.
Like, it's like a weird one because both goalies gave up 2 goals and Vasilevskiy ends up getting the loss, but Tampa had a chance at the end there. Goalie pulled. Stamkos had a huge one-timer at 2-1. Bobrovsky made the save. Don't know if it would have hit the net. Looked like he was missing the net. But this is a tightly contested game. And John Cooper said, we didn't play good for 10, 15 minutes. We got everything we wanted to do in 45 minutes. Didn't do it in 60, though. So the intensity was there. But it's going to be one-goal games like this the whole series.
Carter Verhaeghe, unreal, just adds to his Panthers legacy, 16 playoff goals, and obviously Sam Reinhardt was able to continue his career year as well. He has 58 total goals on the season. That series will resume on Tuesday. As far as the Capitals and the Battle of the Lindgrens, as far as the Rangers and Washington are concerned, am I wrong to think that it was just a little meh from the Capitals in game 1, or is it just kind of what the Rangers can do to you. And let's not forget, the Rangers are President's Trophy winners this year.
Okay, so is a 1.5 expected goals from the Washington Capitals just meh? Yeah, it's meh, but that's the Capitals. They don't have a lot of offense, right? Spencer Carberry said after the game, we don't score a lot of goals, and we allowed the Rangers to get, you know, get the lead and get up in the game. What was it, 3-0? So, yeah, that's not going to be good. And they allowed the Rangers' fourth line to get two of those goals. It started with Matt Rampe. Panarin gets one right after that, and then it was Jimmy Vesey, but that's the fourth line. And, I mean, we talked about Owen Power when he scored his first goal the season before this pass, and then it was floodgates. That felt like floodgates for the New York Rangers. As soon as they got one, they got two, they got three, and they had the game under control. So, yeah, you can't allow the Rangers to beat you with their fourth line, but that's really what happened in this game.
Well, the Panarin goal wasn't Lindgren's finest hour either, though.
No, he just whiffed on it.
Yeah.
Which was the weirdest thing, but he can't say that he was the issue. Look, Ovechkin, no shots on goal. The Washington Capitals power play not really getting anything done. And they just were slow. The Washington Capitals were slow in this game, and it resulted in Kreider getting a breakaway. It was almost like a full ice breakaway. He took off skating in a straight line, and nobody saw him, and nobody picked him up. Mm-hmm. Washington was very meh in this game.
Four times in 148 playoff games, Ovechkin has been held without a shot. I couldn't believe it when I want to say it was power play. Regardless, it came to him about, I don't know, 10 to 12 feet on the doorstep, and he didn't shoot, and he passed it back across. And I'm like, this is not the Ovi I would expect.
Did somebody let him know that he didn't have a shot on goal at that point? Like, it's one of those where you walk in with the sheet in between the second and the third, and you're like, okay, like, we got guys here that have zero shots on goal. Let's go. And I think Ovi would have felt like, well, that's me, right? But he didn't.
Well, and obviously we'll talk more about the Amerks later, but Jiří Kulik had been on such a run with 8 goals in his previous 8 games prior to the last 2 where he got blanked. But a big part of that 8 games was he had 40 shots on goal over the 8 games. Yeah. Like, it was amazing. And that's exactly what you want, right? So again, more on that story with Rochester as they open up the playoffs with Syracuse this weekend, Friday and Sunday at Blue Cross Arena. Okay. As far as the late games yesterday were concerned.
Yes.
You must have had a deja vu, right? A little bit. Game one.
Of the Buffalo, Ottawa series?
Ottawa.
Yeah, oh yeah.
7-6, baby. I know, we're biased because of the market we're in, but to me, it's hard not to think about that game whenever you get a score that replicates it. And I know it didn't go goal for goal the same kind of way that one did, but holy cow, Winnipeg and Colorado, what a start. Obviously, the Avalanche are without Jonathan Drouin, for this series, but the quote of the playoffs so far, and look, there was a scenario here that wasn't to the Avalanche's favor, and that was they didn't have a healthy backup as Anonen was ill. But Jared Bednar says after, yeah, goalie probably needed to be better, right? So what can you do? Like, the only problem is, like, this 7-6 Winnipeg win is on the heels of a very, very, very challenging end to the regular season for Georgiev.
Yeah. Now, listen, when every announcer last night in that game was like, never seen a game one like this before. And all I kept thinking is, we had that, but it's short memory, right? And you're like, this was crazy.
It's called recency bias, but do your homework. Now,
well, I know, but the last time this has happened,
or was it someone else? Because
that was
Steve Levy, who I love down the stretch, was talking one night about, oh, I can't remember playoff races this close.
I know.
Like, oh my God, it's every year, man. Yeah, like, seriously.
I get it. And it was ESPN yesterday. But like, the last time a regulation game one ended 7-6 was in 1985. So that's a long time ago. I know ours was 7-6 game one in 2006, but that was in the overtime too. But
yeah, 1 minute worth.
Yeah, I know. But similar situation. Who's the better goalie in Winnipeg, Colorado? Connor Hellebuyck. There's no debating. He's the better goalie. Who was the better goalie in Buffalo, Ottawa back then? It was Ryan Miller, right? Who was the one that, you know, and then we ended up winning 7-6. Georgiev really struggled in that game. When the Winnipeg Jets made it 4-3, two-on-one goal. I think it was Lowry came down, two-on-one, boom, 5-0, right? It was, oh, you got to pull him there. I didn't realize at that point that Anunin was ill and not backing up. They had a guy by the name of Arvid Holm. He was in the ECHL with Utah this year and also Colorado Eagles in the American Hockey League. He actually was with the Manitoba Moose the last 2 years. So he knows the organization really well and with the Jets, but he wasn't going to go in. And it really ended up the game. At the end of the day, you could say, okay, Winnipeg played better. You know, well, not really. Like, they're 2.5 goals expected. They ended up scoring 7. So they were opportunistic. They finished their chances. But the Lowry shot that went off the post, off the other post, and then again off the post and out, that the puck literally crossed the line by a quarter of an inch, and that's because it was on edge. Mm-hmm. It actually went left post, right post, over the line on edge, but caught, like, and spun back like a golf ball when you spin it on the green.
Lacrosse ball, too.
Was that?
I said a lacrosse ball as well.
A lacrosse, too. Like, yeah, a lacrosse ball. Like, you can play the spin. It actually ended up, like, turning the game there because that made it 6-3. And the game ends up 7-6. Yeah, Casey Milstead gets a goal late. But it's still a 7-6 game, and every goal matters. So, yeah, that goal was a big part of the game.
Yeah, the conclusion to the season for Georgiev has had 4 against, 6 against, 6 against, 2 against, 4 against, 4 against, and now 7. And of course, like, nothing really matters in life, like, because what's next is all, like, it's not predetermined. But the Jets are giving you a pretty good reference point of how good they've been against Colorado. I mean, they went in and threw up a 7 on them in their second to last home game for the Avalanche, and it was a 7-0 win, which allowed them to sweep the season series. And clearly they have had Georgiev's number, as his goals against is at 6.5 for the year against Winnipeg. So I don't know. I mean, this is, look, the Avalanche have a lot of wonderful storylines as well, and more than enough capability offensively to get this thing done. But at what point do you think, you know, if Anunin is not over his illness, how much of an issue is this for the guys playing in front of Georgiev?
It is a big issue because, look, Georgiev led the league in wins this year when it comes to goaltending. 2 years in a row. But, they clearly don't have the confidence in him right now because of you hear the sound bites and, you know, everybody, they're showing the backup goaltender on the bench and you're like, they're stuck right now. They're stuck with Georgiev. And Anunin actually had a really solid season.
Yes.
Despite the fact that me, myself included, were like, Colorado needs a better backup. Why? It wasn't because of Anunin's play. It was more because Georgiev is starting to fall. It started halfway in the season. His curve started to go down slowly, slowly, and it finished bad. So, but right now, you look at Colorado. Nichushkin had a goal. That was great, right? McKinnon had a goal. Middlestad had a goal. Luke Lekkonen had a goal. Like, they got goals by the Makar, by the guys that you would think, where Winnipeg got goals by Lowry and Niederreiter and whatnot. Like, they got other players to join in to the play, where Colorado is really top heavy right now. And if, you know, if you get 6 goals with that top heavy roster and you don't win, you're starting to ask yourself some questions.
Well, I think the Jets' top heaviness came through. I mean, Connor and Scheifele had 3 points. Morrissey had 2. You had 7 guys with 2 points or more. I know it's obvious you're trying to avoid the question, how good are the Jets? Because you don't like talking about them. But, I mean, they have the balance in place. Vilardi has come back from the last injury very productive. And, you know, are they not poised to win here this series?
I picked them to win. And one of the things that I was very surprised is that this is what was the one series that the odd makers and the standings weren't matching. Like, the odd makers picked everybody that was above in the standings to win this series, right? Mm-hmm. Like, to have a better, better odds. This one at Colorado with the better odds of winning the series when you look at the odd makers, despite the fact they finished 3rd, Winnipeg finished 2nd, and they were going to start in Winnipeg. But I picked the Winnipeg Jets to win that series. And look, I mean, who gets you the 1-1 goal? It's Namestnikov with Iafallo. Iafallo, great stick, right? Cuts that pass. Namestnikov walks in. Boom. Was it the 1-1 goal? Maybe it was the 2-1 goal at that point. Yeah, because Morrissey got made it 1-1. It was 2-1. It was that puck was laying in the slot. Namestnikov came in and just hammered it. And you can't blame Georgiev for that one, but it's Namestnikov, Iafallo. This is your fourth line. These are good players that you have playing on your fourth line.
Right, and Toffoli had a couple of shots in the game, but was not productive point-wise, but he's not to be forgotten in the ability for this Winnipeg team here with more than 30 goals. But that response from the Jets was massive, you would think. Not that two-goal leads don't disappear frequently, but Colorado was running up the shot total at that point, and the Jets needed an answer. They got it, and, you know, maybe a few more times during the playoffs, I'll talk about how much I love Josh Morrissey. But, you know, like it's just they are. And I don't mind the odds makers actually picking Colorado, because I think, you know, from the start of the year and in any previous year over the last four, really, like they're and with what they added and with their again, they lost Drouin. I know he had a really, really good year and it does kind of mess things up a bit. But based on some of the other guys that they didn't have during the year and they have them now, I don't really want to look at the Avalanche as, you know, a depleted roster at this point in time. By the way, another tip of the cap to Cale Makar. Did you see his latest milestone, if you will? Kind of a
no, I did not see this
one,
specific milestone.
Third fastest to 50 assists in NHL history among defensemen. You know the two ahead of him?
Well, I think Paul Coffey and Bobby Orr.
Bobby Orr.
And
a rival to Coffey during his career that started in the Battle of Alberta.
Al MacInnis?
Yes. Wild, wow. Huh?
Yeah, no, that is wild. Although you have to think that, again, the 80s were, you know, offensive
but
galore.
But that's now, too. But
it
that's
is now, too, yeah. To a certain level. Not that the 6.5, 7 goals per game, but still, like, the top-end guys really get their points, and Cale Makar is getting his points. But, again, I think that right now, the reason why Colorado was favored when you look at the odd makers is also it's a money thing, right? Like, where should we put the line so we can get the better balance money-wise? And because if you had put Colorado as the underdog, you're probably getting all these people putting money on Colorado. And if you win, now you're losing a lot of money.
Right,
so you're trying to balance it out.
Why are you bringing logic into this? When did we introduce that?
Because Vegas doesn't lose much money and they always look at it logically. And that's why you have to always, when the odds come out, you have to think of yourself like, ooh, am I way out or is there a reason for this specific odd? And, you know, like Boston against Toronto was about a pick 'em. Boston was minus 120. Toronto's plus 100. In my book, I'm like Boston and five, right? But there's always a chance that,
is that
could
book
change.
Handy? I can't see it. The book
it's,
that has
it's
Boston
over there.
In
it's over
okay.
there. Right. I put it on social media, so you can check my picks on social
media. So you're literally an open book now?
I'm an open book. I put all my first-round picks on social media.
Oh. Did you get immediate backlash?
No.
Really? Are you sure it's on social?
Yeah. Well, the only backlash I got is, way to go picking all the favorites. I'm like, yeah, I picked the eight winners are the eight winners that won game. Well, the six winners that won game one.
Right.
And tonight,
don't get there tonight. We're not there.
No, I
yet.
Know, but I've got the two tonight, right? So I went 6-0 in the first games.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's put a bow on the opening weekend with, I don't know, one word for Nashville, Vancouver.
One word for Nashville, Vancouver.
Can't be a name of a player. It has to be a descriptive word.
I'm going to say, I can't say a name of a player because I wanted to say a name of a certain player. I'm going to say.
Expected?
Expected, yes. But I want to. I want to say something and I'm like, I can't find the right word. I'm going to say grind and grit and mixed with skill. Like, so I know who I want to talk about. And I know is one of your favorite player this year on the Vancouver Canucks is Dakota Joshua. So I was going to say Dakota Fanning just to get people that way, because just to get, like, you know, our game with the bands,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
So I was going to say Dakota Fanning, but it's Dakota Joshua. He got a couple of goals, but that's, to me, that's what Vancouver, that's their key. I know it's Miller and Pettersson and Besser and Monahan now and whatever, right? Not Monahan.
Lindholm.
And Lindholm, I mean, but... it's the depth. It's the guys that, you know, need to just make a difference at the bottom of your lineup that have been the guys all year, in my opinion, that have done it.
Mm-hmm.
Connor Garland. Like, Connor Garland had a fantastic end of the season, I thought. Like, not
20
that
goal
I,
scorer.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, he's not the household name when you look at the Vancouver Canucks, but that's who happened. And I felt somewhat bad because I think Yossi Saros is a fantastic goalie, but that goal was a tough one to give up.
Which one?
The first one, the one to Lindholm. Early in the second, made it 1-1. I thought Nashville got out the first period 1-0. They're fine, and then it's a tough goal to give up.
But they were still up 2-1 going into the third, and, you know, I was actually surprised that their numbers were as good as they were when leading after two. Not that most teams aren't. It's just I felt like Nashville, you know, did have some very loose moments during the course of this year. Fewer, obviously, in the second half. But Dakota Joshua. So the reason his name came up on this show 4 to 6 weeks ago, I'm going to say at least six. It was probably post-trade deadline and looking at, you know, other players that, you know, would become available, right? Like, you're always looking at that kind of massaging of the roster from a Sabres standpoint. And, okay, well, now you've passed the trade deadline. Like, what could happen in the summertime? Who are going to be the unrestricted free agents, especially ones of value, meaning players who are playing, and this didn't have to be the starting point for the conversation, but the fact of the matter is Joshua basically makes the league minimum. He makes just over $800,000. He's an incredibly late bloomer, I guess you could say. He's going to be 28 in the month of May, and this is only his second full season in the NHL. He was actually a four-year teammate of Amherst's leading scorer, Mason Yobst, at Ohio State,
yeah,
at the Ohio State. And now, Marty, between regular season and playoffs, he has played 64 games this year, has 20 goals, and is a pending unrestricted free agent.
And he will be one that will be in demand. I think teams are going
to get
really...
to market. I don't think he will. Will he?
Was that?
Will he get to market?
Well, that, well, if he does, there will be 20 teams lined up for his services. And the only other 10 teams that won't be lined up is because they won't be able to make it work under their cap situation, because everybody would want to be lined up for Dakota Joshua and what he brings. Will he get to market? I doubt it. This is the type of heart and soul player that the Vancouver Canucks really need. And he's proven now. I mean, he proved it in the regular season. And game one, you needed somebody to step up and play that hero card. And, you know, he did that.
I love his goal. Like, it's not
Suter
just
scored the tying goal, but it's Dakota Joshua that got the, you know, the game out of reach with an empty netter and the game winning goal as well.
What's the room again?
1240 down at the end.
Ooh, what's that?
Sammy, don't touch that. That's someone's old food.
Here we are. Do you have the key?
You have both of ours.
Oh, right. Not working.
Rub it.
Come on.
Try flipping it over.
Seriously.
Why can't we go inside?
I'm tired.
Give me yours.
You have mine.
All right.
What?
Please, if you
Dad,
could just...
Dad, why aren't you opening the door?
Can everyone just shut the...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Yeah, I mean, well, the empty netter in itself was like from a confident player. He received the pass within 2 seconds from his own blue line, shot a dart right down to the middle of the net. But his goal that put them in front, like, yeah, it's a super effective forecheck. It's a corkscrewed Carrier, unable to find his footing and or stick on puck. But when you watch the release point of Joshua and him not just, like, in a panic firing on goal, this is what I love about it. Like, it's almost got a little fadeaway flair to it to catch the goalie moving from his right to his left. And I'm like, this was really good poise. Like, I know he missed time due to injury, which was derailing this career year, but there are few missteps in his game right now. And again, he's, to me, is the type of player that can just move up and down, especially in a top nine, you know, and obviously the Canucks are blessed with that ability right now.
Yeah, now, you know what was great about that goal? And when you get to the playoffs, Duffer, every team does these like goalie scouting meeting, right? And mm-hmm. and you do that usually a quick 45 seconds before every game. Either you do a quick like video, this is the goalie we're playing, that's his tendencies, or you put a sheet on the wall, players walk by, they read up on it. But when you are in the playoffs, you do a much bigger, better dissecting of the other goaltender's game. Mm-hmm. Look at Toronto, Boston, and we'll get to it because mm-hmm. they play tonight. But, you know, the two goals they scored on Samsonov, low blocker, was basically let him overshoot the lane because he's a very active goaltender and then go either against the grain or hang on to the puck a little bit, let him get back. That's what Dakota Joshua did on that game-winning goal. He got the puck as a lefty in front, and instead of saying, I got to go to the glove side quick because I got to try to beat Soros quick, that's mm-hmm. a typical, like, Saros is very quick in net. And when you have the puck, if you're able to hang on to the puck for an extra second, he may overshot the lane and you can beat him going against the grain, which he did going back to the blocker side, which is that's what teams do in the playoffs. They do these really deep dive into the pre-scouting and they give everybody the tools. It tells me hockey sense, hockey IQ, getting that information. That's what he did. He saw an opportunity to go against the grain where most players would have shot in the stomach or on the glove side trying to get it quick on net.
Yeah, completely opposite of the culmination of the 2013 Stanley Cup final when the Hawks had 2 in 17 seconds to derail what Boston thought was a victory and an extension to game 7. But the Hawks rescued not only the game, but stole the cup right out from under their hands. And last night, 2 in 12. So that's the window that people in Vancouver are talking about, the fastest 2 in Canucks playoff history. And it just turned the game on its ear. And I will say this, it was hilarious watching the broadcast in probably like that 6-minute window of time when all of this was happening. And the analyst was asked, you know, what do the Predators need to do? And I'm paraphrasing, but I was thinking the exact same thing. Like, well, it would help if they got the puck. Like, they couldn't they couldn't get the puck at all. And then all
from the middle of the second to the middle of the third, they didn't touch the puck at all.
And then, if you noticed, as is normal in these situations, all of a sudden, with about 7-8 minutes left, Vancouver looked like, uh-oh, how are we going to hold on to this? And Nashville didn't get as much in the way of quality on Demko as they would have liked, but they did look like a team that all of a sudden was like, okay, we can get the puck back here. And so, you know, we'll see.
They got a flurry. It started with a Yossi chance, another Yossi chance. Then it was Evangelista at the back end. It was a good chance. They were like a minute and a half, 2 minutes where they got a flurry. And then after that, it was okay. Let's Rick talk it. Let's not let that happen. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not going to be how we're going to play this game against the Nashville Predators. And then they stopped the Nashville flatline after that, too. They flatlined before, they peak, they flatline after.
Was there anything on Demko noteworthy for you?
I thought it was the save on, who was it? And on Beauvillier, right? Early in the game. It was it was the save of the game, and it was early in the game. Like, if you give up, I know that they still went down 1-0 eventually. The Vancouver Canucks were down 1-0 to Nashville. But when that pass was made across to Beauvillier and Demko got out to his right side and made that pad save, I thought, that's the Demko that we know Vancouver can play confident in front of. Like, if that was Casey DeSmith or Shilovs or whatnot, that's a goal. And all of a sudden you're like, it probably should have been a goal, but still, Demko will make those saves, let you play with confidence. And that's why him getting a couple games at the end of the season and now being healthy in the playoffs was really important to get into, some minutes before it really counted.
Vancouver wins that game 4-2 and are up 1-0 in the series in the return to playoff action to Canada's furthest most Western NHL team. And the market was clearly ready for it last night. There are four games tonight, which we'll dive into when we come back, including the beginning of two series. Those ones will happen in Dallas and in Edmonton. And of course, AHL playoffs return to the Flower City this Friday. It's five straight years in the postseason for the Amerks. They draw Syracuse, which looked unlikely when the weekend started based on the fact that the Crunch had been rolling along and were in first place in the division. But now the Amerks have home ice against Syracuse in a rematch of last year's playoff series, and tickets are on sale starting tomorrow at 10 a.m. to the general public. But if you go to amerks.com/playoffs, there is a presale opportunity right now, so you may want to dig into that. I'll tell you this, on Friday, it was something. We had 10,200 at Blue Cross Arena for the regular season home finale, and it was electric, just like it has been the last couple of springs under Seth Appert. So we'll look forward and talk much more about the Amerks and the start of their playoffs when we come back on Sabres Live. Stay with us.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Before we went to commercial, Marty said, see how I feel, whether I want to continue the show. That's basically the Leafs with Nylander right now. We'll see how he feels, and maybe he'll play tonight. Game time decision for William Nylander as the Maple Leafs are in Boston. And game two happens tonight. What is your thought? And by the way, not a big X guy, obviously, anymore, but feel free to hit us up. Like, what are you talking about right now? At Sabres Live, and Marty will do his best to weave it into the show.
Communicate back. Here's the thing. You remember I said common sense usually rules the world when it comes to sports betting? Is, look, you got to look where the money would go. You got to set line and try to balance it out. I am telling you right now, this game time decision nonsense will have to end soon because of sports betting. How do you not, number one, let people, and I get it. Maybe there's a real, but you got to put a label on probable, doubtful, questionable. We'll see how he feels. William Nylander was not taking line rushes this morning on morning skate, stayed out with the extras to do extra work. And Sheldon Keefe says, it's game time decision. We'll see how he feels the rest of the day. Either he's lying, he knows he's not playing, but he doesn't want to tell everybody that. Mm. Or two, they pushed Nylander after practice a little bit to see if he was going to be good to go. But why wouldn't he be taking line rushes if that's the case? Like, you want to get into that rhythm, that mindset. Who are my line mates? Let's get together. Let's go. Let's go through the process. Just like there was questions about who's going to be the least netminder to start game two. And when you look at practice this morning, you say, hey, it's Ilya Samsonov. He was taking the power play at the end. He was going through his game day routine when he starts. And why not? Like, why would it be Joseph Woll? In the end, it's easier to figure it out when you look at it. But, and then on the other,
I mean, they lost 5-1. I think it's a fair question to consider Woll.
It's a fair question, but then you do a deeper dive in it and you say, okay, Samsonov actually saved a half a goal better than expectation in that game. They gave up. I know. I get that. So in the end, you got to win. Okay. Joseph Woll was 4-6 in 10 games since returning from the injury and did not look good. So okay. I'm like, I'm not going to Joseph Woll right now. But this is the game time decision series. Let's dub the Boston Bruins, Toronto Maple Leaf, the game time decision series. Because after Jeremy Swayman put up, small sample, the best goalie performance of the playoffs so far, you are thinking of going to Linus Ullmark in game two, Jim Montgomery?
Why wouldn't you?
Because he's nuts. Like, this is not regular season. This is not everybody gets a trophy. Like, I get it. You're a little taken back because last season you stuck with Ullmark too long, but it's a different situation. Ullmark was injured last year in the playoffs. They were up 3-1 in the series. They had a perfect opportunity to go to Swayman in game five. They didn't. And maybe go to Swayman in game six. They didn't. And then they throw Swayman in game seven. They were up by a goal just to get a Florida Panthers goal with the goalie pull late and win it in overtime. Look, I get it. You're a little bit, taken back with what happened last year. But this year's different. Swayman's your guy. Stick with him. I don't know. I mean, if they go with Ullmark tonight, I never hope that a goalie loses or a team lose. But, I mean, I can see the headline right away if the Leafs were to win. Bruins make the wrong decision. I get it. But I wouldn't go with Ullmark in game two. That's for sure.
I probably wouldn't either, but it makes for a far better conversation.
You're 100%. It is a good conversation because there's always going to be, look, they rolled two goalies all year. That's how they got their success. And I'm like, good. Give them a regular season trophy. That's not what we're trying to get here. We're trying to win a Stanley Cup. And Swayman made the save in the first period right before the Bruins scored 1-0. Swayman made a couple of other huge saves. Like, he was the reason the Bruins won in game one. And then you may not start him in game two. Yeah.
You think he was the reason?
I think he was one of the reason, but and the Leafs undisciplined. They gave the Bruins 5 power plays. Max Domi started opening faceoff. He started beaking at Marchand. Like, let him sleep. Why are you trying to? You're in Boston. Why are you trying to antagonize everybody? And then they chased Marchand all over the ice, took penalties on him. It was dumb. The Leafs.
I'm gonna say that's genetic.
Domi?
He got
a call from his dad before the game and said, you know what? You better do something. Don't let him. But it's not 1988 hockey anymore. And I think if Marchand had done something, Marchand goes out and scores 2 goals in the first 10 minutes. Okay, go and try to get in his kitchen. Or if Marchand clips Morgan Rielly, go and get in his kitchen. But on opening faceoff, you're going to start that? Like, I just thought that was dumb.
Okay, Islanders and Carolina. This series saw the Canes eke out a victory in front of the chaotic Caniacs in Raleigh on Saturday. It was, I would say, tight as expected, although looking like Carolina would get the bulk of the chances or just create. I loved Kuznetsov scoring the game's opening goal. Like, it was like, were you surprised that he did as Selly? Like, did you think that was a Washington thing? Or did you
No, he's done it in Carolina a few times.
No, I know, but
season.
Like, it's early.
We remember Kuznetsov in the playoffs doing the because it's an Eagle thing. It's a Washington Capitals thing. And he's still doing it in Carolina. I get what you're saying. It's funny because... I mean?
It's early, not like an overtime winner, whatever. Yeah.
So. But when Kuznetsov scored, it's Marty Natchez that's actually in the corner doing the wings, right? He's like, hey, there you go, buddy. Like, we love it. look, this is the game I'm watching in my old black and white TV, which I don't have. I was trying to find a black and white TV to be able to take a picture of, hey, look, I'm literally watching this one on a black and white TV. But it had that feel, right? It had that... low scoring, low event type of game for the better part. Although the Islanders had some great scoring chance. Kyle Palmieri had couple of good ones. The one that he tried to get around Anderson and lost the puck just wide, that would have made it 2-2. I felt like the Islanders battled hard, but yeah, Carolina, they've done that a few times this year where they're down after two and turn it on in the third and turn it on when they need to. And yeah, that was, it was pretty intense. And the fan base in Carolina was on point.
If we talk quickly enough, we'll get back to that series in best and worst, but given our inability to actually hit on these segments on a daily basis, I feel like we should have shown it already. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Pageau is a game time decision for the Islanders, and it is Varlamov once again in goal tonight. Islanders and Carolina with the Canes up by one. Vegas and Dallas. Mark Stone likely to make his return to the lineup for Vegas tonight. Their forward group, it looks deep. Oh my goodness. But will it have chemistry, if that's such a thing, for Vegas as they open their series in Dallas tonight?
Okay, you talk about their forward group. I mean, when you look at their top line of Eichel, Marchessault, and Barbashev, and then you roll Stone, Stevenson, Hurdle, and then you know what? Let's go Dorofeev with Carlson and Anthony Mantha, and that leaves you with what is the best forward line in hockey with Keegan Kolesar, Nick Leroy, and Nick Roy and William Carrier. I call him Nick Roy because Nick Roy. I call him Nick Roy. I think it sounds better. It's like Patty Roy. Like it's just Patrick Roy. Patty Roy sounds better. Nick Roy. But anyway, Will Carrier, Nicholas Roy, and Keegan Kolesar. Like they're deep. They're extremely deep. Their defense is deep. At the end of the day, the biggest thing is who's playing in goal. And can they make a save? Because I know last year it was, okay, they don't have to have a stud goaltender, but you also don't want your goalie to lose you games, which is what I feel Aiden Hill and Logan Thompson were more than not like doing at the end of the season. They were losing the Vegas Golden Knights games. And now, like, you go in and you play the Dallas Stars, you cannot have a goaltending performance that is subpar so much so that you're losing games. And I think that's going to be the real issue for Vegas in that series.
Kings are healthy. They get the Oilers. Edmonton is not 100% healthy. Evander Kane is certainly questionable. He's been dealing with a sports hernia of late. However, we are familiar with this matchup. Or are we? Is it going to look dramatically different this time around? Or is it going to be Kings-Oilers deja vu times two, three?
I think it's
whatever your perspective
is. Yeah, I think it's going to look a little bit different. Look, the Kings have made life so hard on the Oilers when it comes to playoff series. But I think what you're seeing right now is that, you know, despite Evander Kane, as you pointed out, dealing with the sports hernia for most of the season, he says, and not being 100%, Corey Perry, Ryan McLeod, Warren Fogle, they still add a different element, a little bit more of a grinder element down in the lineup with the Edmonton Oilers, that it's not just, well, McDavid, Dreisaitl, let's see what they do. It's not just that, right? So, and Stuart Skinner in year two, we'll have to see if it's better than last year's playoff, which, you know, and then the year before that was whoever, Mike Smith and Koskinen or whatever. Like it feels different for the Edmonton Oilers this year.
Okay, real quick, if it was like baseball and you had a series MVP when it was all said and done and the Kings were victorious, who's likely to be the Kings series MVP?
If there is a series MVP for the Kings, I'm going to say it would be Drew Doughty. I think Drew Doughty, not only doing his defensive efforts against the top guys of the Edmonton Oilers, playing probably 30 minutes a night, but I think Drew Doughty can still provide some offense. And, you know, if he ends the series, let's say this goes seven, he ends the series with 3 goals and 4 assists, 7 points in 7, and plays the defensive game that we know he can.
Yeah.
That definitely could happen.
I'm going to go with Dubois or Deneau. I can't figure it out, probably because I wouldn't expect Dubois to fully elevate himself to that level. But if he does, then it does represent the game-changing aspect, which is why they got him in the first place. And maybe it becomes a series-defining difference between LA and Edmonton.
You just said something weird there. And baseball has a series MVP every series in the playoffs?
Well, not the first round, I don't think.
Okay, but, so they do have a conference.
Well, they have division MVP. Series, league championship series MVP. Yeah, they just don't have. Yeah, no. Don't ask me these things now. I've stopped watching baseball entirely. I deleted the app.
Why?
Because I don't want any more competition in my life. This is why I go to concerts every night. There's no scoreboard. I don't want losses, man. I just want victories.
I love a scoreboard, but I always cheer for the team that wins anyway. So that's it makes it a lot easier for me.
Okay. Well, the Amherst had an amazing run down the stretch. We're going to take a break, come back, full Amherst playoff preview and best and worst of the weekend. It's next on Sabres Live.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
By Seneca Resorts and Casinos, nothing else comes close.
Amherst fell in overtime on Friday night, which opened the door for Cleveland to win the North Division. Of course, we didn't know how it was going to play out. It was an overtime loss. It was a thriller. But then the Amherst on Sunday afternoon did have a chance to win the division, and they did so because of Isaac Rosén. He goes to the net, scores the game-opening goal. He's got 19 on the year. They were down 2-1 in the third, but then got two goals in 30 seconds as Ethan Prowse scored from the point, and this was an amazing turn of events because right after that, Rosén scores his 20th. So he has 20 goals, 30 assists, 50 points. Big improvement for him year over year in year two in the AHL. He led the team in game winners with six. He led the team in first goals of games with five, and he had this courageous block with a minute 30 to go. This was all part of the final 2:45 of the game in Utica, where the Amherst never had the puck after the faceoff in a six-on-five situation. Utica controlled the entirety of it. Rosén stayed out there. He was on the ice with Slagert and Yops as the forward group, and incredibly, when this whole sequence came to an end, I think Slagert must have somehow maybe changed for a couple of seconds. Anyway, the Amherst got the puck behind their goal line. Yop sends it down. It should have been icing, would have been icing. But somehow, after all of this, Slagert won the race to negate the icing, which prevented one final faceoff in the Amherst zone. And very briefly, there was a snapshot that would have shown the Amherst in first place in the North. Sadly, within the hour, Cleveland defeated Toronto. They take first in the North. And with it, that puts the Amherst in the two spot, Syracuse into the three spot as they lost their final game on Saturday against Utica. So what a wild weekend it was. Best of the weekend for me was Rosén's performance, the grit and everything else that was shown. Obviously, Devin Levi, honorable mention as he goes 16-6-4 on the season with the second best save percentage in the AHL at .927. So the series begins on Friday. Rochester is home to Syracuse. What a battle that will be. Marty, I might have left you just enough time for your best of the weekend.
Well, pretty courageous effort by Isaac Rosén, I'll be telling you that. But my best and worst of the weekend is going to be goalie associated with the NHL playoffs. My best of the weekend was Freddie Anderson, two saves on Noah Dobson on the first day of the playoffs on Saturday afternoon. First of all, Freddie Anderson gets clipped by his own defenseman. While falling back, he makes a toe save. And then Dobson walks in with Freddie Anderson laying, swimming in the blue paint. It was at the pool side ordering a cocktail or whatnot. And Dobson thinks he's got a wide open net just to see Freddie throw his blocker and glove in the air and make the save. That was the best of the weekend. And the worst of the weekend, unfortunately, I mentioned it when it comes to Nashville and Vancouver. Well, Nashville up 1-0, 30 seconds into the second period. It was a Elias Lidholm shot that just beat UC Soros under the blocker arm. Like, it was a bad shot, a bad goal. So that allowed Vancouver to get back in the game, and they won with a couple of Dakota Joshua goals in the third period.
Bandits have a home playoff game on Saturday. We'll dive in. Probably tomorrow, I'm thinking, on Sabres Live.
Yes.
We'll see you then.
At
Okay, guys, we got to put our trays up for takeoff.
Where's Dad?
Oh, he's in the back. We could only get 3 seats together.
Daddy has my pillow.
He'll get it later. Can you not put your feet up, please?
Why aren't we going?
We must be in line for takeoff.
Like security?
Well, that was a different line.
I have to go.
We just sat down.
But I have to go.
The seatbelt sign's on.
Why aren't we moving?
Hey, no kicking.
We're just 15th in line for takeoff.
Son of a...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.